Morning for our special Good Friday service. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, I'd like to offer you a very special welcome. And I can see lots of you that are new here today. I even have a very special friend of mine named Ava, who's 12 going on 22 here today. Now, Ava was asking her dad the other day, and she was saying, "Dad, what does Paul do?" And Teddy very graciously explained that I was a pastor in the church. And her response to that was, "Oh, that's why his jokes are so bad." Oh, that was a knife in my heart. So an elderly woman, she had finished at church that night, and she was on fire. She was invigorated, and she was full of happiness. And she came home. And when she got home, she found a burglar in her home, an intruder. And she yelled at this burglar, "Stop! Acts 2:38. And for some of you who need to know what that means, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Well, the burglar, out of fear, stopped dead, didn't move. And the old lady very graciously rang the policeman to tell them that she had caught the burglar in her house. So the police came out and they arrested the burglar and put him in the car and took him off. But the policeman couldn't understand why he'd stopped. So he said, "Why? Why did you stop?" And she just quoted scripture. That's all she did. She just had a Bible and she just quoted scripture. And the burglar said, "What are you talking about? She said she had an axe and 2:38s. So fear can rule our life, can't it? Fear can be debilitating. Fear can really affect what we can achieve and what our potential in life can be. Fear can really prevent God's plans for our lives. So today we're continuing our series on Tough as Nails, and we're dealing with the issue of fear. And I've entitled today's message, "Why Am I So Afraid?" Why am I so afraid? Well, when I was growing up, we always had a hidden key at our house. So if we got lost or came home late and couldn't get in, we had a hidden key. So every time we got home and you couldn't find things, you could get the hidden key and pop into the house. Well, as I grew up into adulthood and got married and moved into my own home with my wife, I wanted to have a hidden key as well. So I had a hidden key at my house, and I got it cut, and I told Leanne what I was going to do. Well, she laughed at me. In fact, she mocked me. She ridiculed me. Yeah, I know. But as you can remember, in 2011 we had the floods. Do you remember the floods? So in 2011, Leanne packed our car up with all the blankets and sleeping bags and camping gear, and off we went. And we helped some people and et cetera, et cetera. And we got home at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sitting at the front of our house on my clicker. And it wouldn't work. And then I realised we had no power. So very gleefully I turned to Leanne and said, "That's why we have a hidden key." I was right, finally. I know you're thinking that poor woman, but I was right. It doesn't happen very often in my house. And this pale look came over Leanne. And you might not believe this, but I have this tendency of going just a little bit too far. So I thought, possibly I've gone too far. And Leanne said, "Paul, I used the key the other day and I didn't put it back." So we slept on the back porch that night, and I can assure you that it was not very romantic. But life can be like this, can't it? Depending on the season that we're in at any given time in our life, that we might not need that hidden key. But one day, you find yourself locked out and you need the hidden key. And we're part three, as we've talked about, with fear in our series on Tough as Nails. And Daryl's used the analogy of the spare tyre, of when we get our licence, that mum and dad who want to teach us how to change a tyre, and we think we don't need to because we'll never need to use that spare tyre. Well, this series, we're talking about fear. And you might be in a stage in your life at the moment where you don't think you need this. You might be in a stage where you're not fearful at all, and this is not that useful to you. So we're going to continue anyway on Tough as Nails and Why Am I So Afraid? Well, the Daily News reports violence and terrorism. Society at a world level and even now at a local level can feel like a very dangerous place. We're surrounded by uncertainty and it's difficult in some cases not to be afraid. But the man that we're here today to celebrate, the man that we celebrate on Good Friday, Jesus, well, he offers us another option. So tough as nails. What does tough mean to you? Do you think that you're tough? Do you know someone that you think is tough? Do you know, in my days, I've met some very frightening men. I've had beers with arguably the toughest of the tough in places. And I've been in places where you can quite literally smell the fear, where fear is prevalent, where the only way you can deal with fear, or where toughness is regarded as the only option to deal with this fear. Let me pose you a couple of questions. Do you think that you're tough? Do you think that Christians are tough? Do you admire Christians for their toughness? Do you see yourself as a tough Christian? Is your version of Christianity worth fighting for? Is your version of Christianity worth being persecuted and mocked and ridiculed for? Because there was a time when Christians were respected for their toughness. Or possibly, do you see Christianity as just a crutch for the weak? Do you see Christianity as nothing more than a crutch for the weak? It's nothing but a crutch that the weak can lean on when they need help. That the strong, they don't need it because they can stand on their own two feet. And perhaps that's a season that you're in your life right now where you don't need that hidden key at this point of your life. You're in a season in your life where you are tough enough to cope with it on your own. But you can cope with anything that comes your way and that you don't need Jesus. You don't need Christ. Perhaps you're here today because your wife, your partner, or even your ma and pa made you come. And you thought, well, if I come today, at least they'll get off my back and stop bugging me for a little while to come to church. And the problem is that at some stage in our life, we all need that hidden key. We all need this crutch to lean on in our life when we experience fear. We all encounter fear at certain stages of our life. I don't care who you are, I can tell you, no matter how tough you think you are, one day life will smack you in the teeth. Problem is that one day we will need help and we will experience fear. As we watch what happens around the world at a global level and a local level, it's okay so long as it's over there and when we can view all the events from a distance. But when it comes to our doorstep, when it's directly in front of you, well, that's when fear can become very real and very confronting. When our world is rocked by the death of someone that's close to us, when our world is rocked by the repercussions of addictions, when our world is rocked by illness, when our world is rocked by fights with the people that we are close to, when our world is rocked by the loss of that job, well, then we are rocked and we experience fear. When it happens elsewhere, it's okay. But when it happens at our doorstep, that's different. Do you know that there are Christians in this world today that see their faith as something worth being persecuted for? Do you know there are Christians in the world today that see their faith as something worth dying for? David Curry, who's the president of Open Doors, well, he says that the level of exclusion, discrimination and violence against Christians in some countries has risen to a level akin of ethnic cleansing. It's starting to come to the forefront of our vision. It's starting to come our way. Because as an individual, as a Christian or a non-Christian, we are going to have to start making decisions on legislation, on culture, on what's happening at school, because they're all trying to push Christianity away. Which leads me to a question this morning, is that as a Christian, how do we deal with the anxiety of what's happening in the world and at home? Well, possibly a more relevant question this morning, a more prevalent question I want to ask is, as a Christian, how do I deal with fear? As a Christian, how do I deal with fear? So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to today, a day where we remember and take time to remember Jesus. Let's look at the man who is the founder of our faith, the author, the one we sing about, the one we pray in the name of, the one who is at the centre of our faith. And an event that took place that some would say is the beginning of Christianity. An event that's glorious and horrible in its own thing. A point in history where Christianity really started to take off. An event that set the tone for Christianity. And let's quickly look at Jesus and that Friday we remember today on Good Friday. Because the man named Jesus, my Saviour, your Saviour, well, he was betrayed by a friend. He was unjustly arrested. He was illegally tried and convicted. He was flogged and tortured. And finally, he was crucified. And you might say, well, how do we know all this? Well, we can read about it in our Bible. But if you're uncomfortable with the Bible being a reliable source, you can look this up on the internet and check it out for yourself. Nearly every historian will agree that a man by the name of Jesus did live this time ago and was crucified. So we read in Mark 15:15, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them and had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. You know, getting flogged, well, that was a gruesome task. The man who did this was just not a kid they picked off the street. He was an expert at what he did. And the piece of equipment that he used was just not a little piece of stick. It was a leather strap embedded with nails, rocks, glass. And the whole idea was to rip the flesh apart one blow at a time. And then we read after the flogging in Matthew 28 that they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after all that, they handed him the death by crucifixions. And the Romans, as we've talked about, the Romans didn't invent crucifixion. But I tell you what, by golly, they perfected it. The Romans used crucifixion as a weapon of fear. They used it as a means of death that would create fear. Their aim was to keep a man alive as long as they possibly could, whilst extracting the maximum amount of pain, and thus the maximum amount of fear. And they used this fear as a weapon to stop anyone thinking of rising up against the Roman Empire. And in that crucifixion, as you know, they had a man or a woman on the cross, and they put a nail through both wrists. Then they put a nail through the feet. And often the cross was only just above the ground level. So the perpetrator could look the person in the eye and they could mock him until he died. So clearly, my Saviour, your Saviour, knew what fear was. Jesus was painfully aware of what fear was. And let's be clear on this finally. Jesus didn't get busted sneaking out of Jerusalem. He rode in there on a donkey. He knew what was coming. He knew it, but he rode towards it. And I think that some of the problem that we have is we have in our minds perception of what Jesus must have been like, what he would have looked like from art, from music, from poetry. We have this perception of what Jesus would have been like. We have this perception of Jesus as this nice, saintly guy who was so meek, mild, and gentle. And it's not true. It's not right. We see Jesus on the cross as a nice piece of jewellery. But my Saviour, your Saviour, was tough. And I mean tough. In fact, he was as tough as nails. He was bold. He was brave and he was tough. And we read stories in the Bible about when he ran the men out of the temple, when those men who were trading at exorbitant rates and selling in the rates in the temple, and he drove them out with a whip. And after he'd driven him out, the authorities said to him, "Under whose authority do you do this?" Jesus was a man who oozed authority. Jesus was a man who oozed toughness. And after all this, the man that went through all this, he says to you and he says to me, "Follow me. Follow me." We read this in Luke 9:23, and he says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Sorry, "take up their cross daily and follow me." Let's look at this verse. "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves." So from time to time, I have to say, not what Paul wants, but what Jesus wants. From time to time, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to say no to me and yes to Jesus. And it says then, "take up the cross daily and follow me." And you know, when this was written, the cross was not something that we just wore around our neck. The cross was not something that we put on our steeples. The cross was not romantic. The cross was not something that we would want to be married under. The cross represented death, and not just a normal death, but a horrible, horrible death. And Jesus says clearly that we have to take up our cross daily. He's saying, if you want to follow me, you have to follow me when in the good times and in the bad times. You're going to have to follow me when it suits you, and you're going to have to follow me when it doesn't. You're going to have to follow me when I can help you and when I don't. Jesus says we have to follow him when it benefits us, and we have to follow him when it costs us. And to follow him when it costs us is scary, and that gives us fear. Jesus knows this is hard for us. Jesus knows our propensity for fear. He understands our desires to feel safe and secure. He understands that we want to protect what is important to us, and he knows this. The Bible is full of stories where Jesus answered a question before it was even answered. Jesus knows our propensity for fear. But do you know, in the Bible it says 365 times, "Fear not." 365 times, "Fear not." Jesus knew our propensity for fear. And we find one of those times in Matthew 10:28. And it says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell." Jesus is really clear here. He's saying, do not fear those who can only kill the body. He's saying you don't need to be fearful of people who can only kill your body. But he does say, if you want to be afraid, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul. Jesus says fear will come. Jesus knew what fear was. But you don't need to be fearful of those who can only harm the body. But fear the one who has control over your soul. And I understand this sounds easier than it is to do. But so did Jesus. Jesus knew our propensity for fear. Even his disciples, even those who were the closest to him, knew fear. We read in the Bible about the story when the 12 disciples and Jesus went on the boat in the lake. And a storm blew up. And these disciples, they were fishermen. They knew storms. They knew what it was like to be out in a storm. This must have been one cracker of a storm. Because the 12 disciples, well, they were afraid. They were afraid and they said, "We need to wake Jesus up." They said, "Let's wake him up. We are fearful, we are scared." And we read in Matthew 8:26, that the disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus was almost dismissive of this event, wasn't he? He chastised them. He said, "You like it when things are going well. You like it when we go into the cities and you are treated like rock stars. You like it when things are going well. You trust me when things are great. You trust me when it suits you. But why can't you trust me when it's not calm? Why can't you trust me when it's frightening?" And he reminds that I've taught them not to fear what can only harm your body. Jesus says, if you are going to fear, don't fear what can only touch your body. If you're going to be afraid, fear God. But in the meantime, take up your cross, follow me, and take up your cross daily. If you can trust me in the good times, why can't you trust me in the bad times? You don't need to be afraid of the things that can only hurt the body. And what I'm saying to some of you this morning, as we've talked about, might not be all that relevant. You prayed for a girlfriend and you got a girlfriend. Life's just peachy. In fact, life's grand. But for some of you, you're in a storm. And you're in the storm of your life. And that wind's picking you up and it's throwing you around like a rag doll. And you're scared. Actually, in fact, you feel fear. You are facing issues in your life, issues with your family, issues with sickness, issues with your job or even a lack of a job, persecution, peer pressure to do what you know is not right. There are any number of issues this morning that can be causing you fear in your life. And the reality is that uncertainty is a certainty. The message for Jesus, for anyone who chooses to follow him, is that uncertainty is unavoidable, but fear is optional. Uncertainty is unavoidable, but fear is optional. Submitting to fear is optional. And Jesus proved it in the way he lived his life. Jesus proved it in the way he died. Jesus proved it in the stories that he told. And you know, over history, it's not just been Jesus who has been fearless and taken up his cross daily. The Apostle Paul, who brings us half the New Testament, was persecuted, he was stoned, he was left for dead, he was imprisoned, and he was eventually executed. But whilst he was in prison, he wrote half the books that we read today in the Bible. He was fearless. He trusted God, and he took up his cross daily. Christians were persecuted by the Romans, dreadfully persecuted, particularly by one man by the name of Nero. Now, Nero would have his Christians in the arena of the Colosseum, and they would be killed in all sorts of horrible events, crucifixions, eaten by the lions, attacked by animals, in the games for the amusement of the Romans. And the Romans would have a doctor that would go into the arena after the event to check out. And this is what one of the doctors says, and this is not from the Bible, this is from separate history. And the doctor says, "For fearlessness of death and the hereafter is something we witness in Christians every day. For fearlessness of death and the hereafter is something we witness in Christians every day." Do you know that every time you pick up a Bible and read it, it's because of a man by the name of William Tyndale. He was considered an outlaw, only because he translated the Bible into a language that the people of England could read. For this, he was publicly strangled and set on fire. He was fearless, and his works later became known as the King James Bible. As we come to a conclusion this morning, we're going to partake of communion together. And I've got three questions that I want you to ponder on as we partake of communion. My first question for you this morning, is your version of Christianity worth anything? Does your version of Christianity allow you to put Christ first and take up your cross daily? Does your version of Christianity allow you to trust God in the good times and the bad times? Does it allow you to trust God when you're fearful? First question to ponder, is your Christianity worth anything? Secondly, are you denying what you want for what our Saviour wants? Are you denying what you want for what our Saviour wants? And third, are our lives worthy of those who went before us? I know that's quite heavy, but what would those who went before us say of our version of Christianity? I asked you a question earlier today, and that was, how does a Christian deal with fear? Well, when fear comes, we can dismiss it. And we can say, I am a Christian. I followed a man who conquered death on behalf of the whole world. I do not fear those who can only harm the body. I'm learning not to opt for fear. Because if my version of Christianity is worth dying for, then it's definitely worth living for. If my version of Christianity is worth dying for, then it's definitely worth living for. If you remember nothing else from this morning, it's to remember that uncertainty is unavoidable, but fear is optional. Uncertainty is unavoidable, but fear is optional. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then the musicians are going to come up on the stage, and we're going to partake of communion together. Around the church is 6 or 7 stations, and at those stations there is cups of juice that represent the blood that was spilt for us. And there's the bread that represents the body that was broken for us on the cross this time 2,000 years ago. We welcome you to come and take communion as the musicians come up. If you're uncomfortable, that's fine, but everyone is welcome here this morning to partake of communion with us. If you're having some issues in life with fear and you would like some prayer, please come down the front with your communion and myself and the elders can pray with you this morning. We're nothing special, but we will stand beside you in this time of your life. In this part of your life, the season that you're in right now, we will stand with you and pray. Will you join me in prayer this morning, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning, and as we partake of this communion together this morning as a community, we ask, what is our Christianity worth? We honour those who went before us, and we ask the questions that are we denying what we want for what you want. We're so thankful this morning as we're here to remember the sacrifice you made for us, and that you love us, and that you want what's best for us. And we pray this morning for our friends and family who are travelling, to have travelling mercies on them as they come to and from their holidays. And we remember that uncertainty is a certainty, but that fear is optional. Help us to deal with the fear in our lives. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.